Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazegna. I am so glad that you tuned into the program. This is a special program about the Holy Spirit, Lord and Giver of Life. That comes right from our Catholic Creed. And I want to share with you a scripture. It comes from John chapter 4. There came a woman of Samaria, and she came to draw water at a well. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask me, a woman of Samaria, for a drink? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that's saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water." And the woman said, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. How are you going to get that living water?" And Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water I shall give that person will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I think most of you know that I'm a Catholic priest, and I've been a priest now for 25 years. And many of you know that Catholic priests do not marry. So I've been single all my life. And this affords me a lot of time to dedicate my time, rather than to my family, to dedicate my time to my ministry. I'm able to write books and produce for television and travel around preaching. But the other thing that not being married affords me to do is to spend time on prayer, to spend time with God, to get to know God in a personal way. I spend a lot of time praying. And I like to call Christianity not so much a religion or a rule and regulations and, you know, all these different rituals and everything, although Christianity has that, and especially Catholicism. Rather, our faith is what I call a sacred romance. I have spent time getting to know the Holy Spirit, and my life has been revolutionized and changed by the Holy Spirit. And I like to say that I have a love relationship with the Holy Spirit, and I want you to have that too. Some of you know the Holy Spirit, some of you know about the Holy Spirit, some of you aren't too sure about the Holy Spirit. That's why many of my programs have to do with the Holy Spirit. There was a song back in the 70s that I really love. It was by a singer named Joe Cocker. He sang it with such emotion, such feeling, such heart. And the name of the song was simply, "You Are So Beautiful to Me." And whenever I hear that song, I think about the Holy Spirit. And whenever I think about the Holy Spirit, I think about that song. It simply goes, "You are so beautiful to me. You're everything I hope for. You're everything I need. You are so beautiful to me." When you think about it, the Holy Spirit living in you is always faithful. Even when you sin, the Spirit forgives you and doesn't leave you, and is faithful, is pure, is true, is virtuous. The Spirit is loving. And I want you to understand that the Spirit comes to help us, to forgive us, to comfort us, to console us. You see, the Holy Spirit is not just a force or a power. The Spirit is a person, the person of God living within us. Our Catholic Creed says that the Holy Spirit is Lord and Giver of Life. First of all, let's concentrate on that theme of Lord. I want you to understand that the Spirit isn't just some angel or some force or some power. Rather, the Holy Spirit is God, Lord of all. The Spirit is the one who breathed life into you. So let's think for a minute. I remember the old church fathers from years ago used to talk about the Holy Spirit as the kiss between the Father and the Son. And that kiss is given to us. You see, the Holy Spirit is Lord. And think for a moment about some of the theology in our Catholic Church talking about God, that Jesus was consubstantial with the Father. That means that he's of one substance, one essence, one in being with the Father. That's exactly who the Holy Spirit is. One in being with the Father and the Son. One essence with the Father and the Son. You must understand that the Holy Spirit who has been breathed into us is God. One essence, one person, one being, actually three persons and one God, and one in essence with God. So the Holy Spirit is Lord. This comes right from our Catholic Creed from the Council of Nicaea back in 325. The Holy Spirit is Lord and giver of life. It is the Holy Spirit who breathed life into you. In fact, the word in the Hebrew is ruach, breath. Pneuma, that's the Greek word, the breath of God was given to you to give you life. And that same breath is breathed into you. So the Spirit gave you life in the first place, and then the Spirit wants to give you abundant life now that you have life. That's exactly what Jesus said in the gospel. He said, I've come that you may have life and life abundant. And he was talking to us. We already have life. So he was saying, I came to bring you something more than what you already have. I came to bring you abundant life. So the fruit of the Spirit is love and peace and joy, all this beautiful fruit. Then the gifts of the Spirit, wisdom and counsel and understanding and fortitude and all these different gifts. So there's fruit and there's gifts. There's the leading, the comfort, the help, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit comes to do all these things. Lord and giver of life. So I want you to understand that God didn't just create you. He came to bring you life. He lives within you to help you in your life. And most of all, to give you intimacy with God. Way back in the scriptures in the Old Testament, there was prophesied that a new covenant is coming, that all will come to know God in a personal way. So the Holy Spirit is all these things. And I remember Paul the Apostle prayed. He said, I want you to know the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of God's love that surpasses all understanding. And that's exactly who the Holy Spirit is, the love of God. This is what Romans 5 tells us. The love of God poured out into our hearts so that we can know love and have a sacred romance. Be filled with the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit. Be led and guided and comforted and helped. This is the power of God. We all need power to live our lives. And oh, as I said, I have forsaken marriage. I am a Catholic priest. I have professed the vow of chastity. And I want to be pure so that I can come to know God in a deep, personal way. And this is what I want for you. This is why I preach about the Holy Spirit all the time. This is why I became a Catholic priest. I want to shout from the mountaintops, shout from the rooftops about the power, the grace, and the presence of the Holy Spirit, because I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to know this abundant life. And I want you not just to have religion, I want you to have a sacred romance. And that sacred romance, of course, is a personal relationship with God in the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus said, unless you're born again of the Holy Spirit and of water, then you'll never enter the kingdom of God. So I want you to have a rebirth. In fact, if you go to my website, I wrote a book called Experience Rebirth, called Experience Rebirth. And then there's another booklet there on my website, and it has to do with receiving new life. And I want you to get those booklets. Just go to my website, fathercedric.org. They're free of charge. You can download them. Experience Rebirth and Experience a Revolution in Your Life. Those booklets will really help you. I want you to be touched and filled with the Holy Spirit. I remember one time I was a youth minister in a parish in St. Louis, Missouri. And when I was there in St. Louis, I was a group leader to a small group. There was about 10 people. And we were sitting around in a circle. This is back in the 80s. And we're sitting around in a circle and we're talking about the Bible and different things. And I was talking about the Holy Spirit. And I was sharing about what the Holy Spirit was doing in my life. And I'll never forget this one woman. She was sitting across from me. She said, "Hold on a second, Cedric." She said, "Who is this Holy Spirit that you're talking about? And how come we don't hear this preached about at Mass?" And I looked at this woman, and I could see the curiosity in her eyes. And not only that, I saw the longing, the hunger, the thirst that she had for the Holy Spirit. And I looked at her, and I talked more about the Holy Spirit. And in a way, I really feel like she represented millions of people who go to church, millions of people who have, quote, religion, but they don't know God. And she was simply saying, "Who is the Holy Spirit?" And maybe you're asking that same thing. Well, I've already shared with you, God, a person of the Trinity, one in essence with God, the power of God, the love of God poured into our hearts, the very person of God to help us, to bring us eternal life, a person that you can have a relationship with, a person that will bring you intimacy and new joy and power, help, strength, to be able to live your life. See, we were never meant to live alone, never meant to live in our own power. God has anointed us. That's exactly what 1 John says. You are anointed. You have been given the Holy Spirit. Now you need to have an awakening. You need to come into a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that woman was being inquisitive. She wanted to know, who is the Holy Spirit? And I want to help you with all my heart. I want to help you as a Catholic priest to come to know the Holy Spirit, because this has revolutionized my life, changed me, and continues to change me. And I can't imagine being a religious person without coming to know God in some personal way and to have this prayer, sacred romance. So it was in the early church, too. People were wondering about the Holy Spirit. For example, this is Acts of the Apostles. In chapter 19, Paul preaching, and he's on his journeys, and he comes to a big city. I've been there, Ephesus. It was a great Roman Greek capital, and the Romans had a city there also. And in Ephesus, Paul comes there, and there were a group of believers. And Paul looked at them, and he said something very interesting. He said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And that's what I'm asking you right now. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They had an interesting reply. They said, "No, we didn't even hear that there was a Holy Spirit." Somehow they heard the message about Jesus, and they didn't hear the fullness of the message. They heard about Jesus and repentance and that Jesus died for their sins, but they didn't hear that Jesus came to bring abundant life, something now, something tangible, something real, an intimate personal relationship with God. They said, "We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So what Paul did is he laid hands on them, and there was what we call the Ephesian Pentecost. All of a sudden now they're talking in tongues, and they've received the Holy Spirit, and their life was revolutionized. Why did Paul ask them that question in the first place? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? I believe it was because when Paul looked at them, maybe they were in a worship service, he saw that they weren't enthusiastic. Maybe they weren't singing very well. Maybe during the service they weren't giving much money. Maybe they weren't joyful. And these are all things that the Holy Spirit brings: generosity and joy and enthusiasm and passion. And Paul was looking at them all, they seemed dead, and he said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" You see, the Holy Spirit invigorates us, quickens us, empowers us with new life. And that's what I want for you. I want you not just to live, as I always say at the end of every program, don't just live, live with passion. I want you to have this passion. One time Peter was preaching, and this is in the Acts of the Apostles, and he came to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Roman centurion. Comes to the house of Cornelius, and there's a lot of people gathered because Cornelius had had a dream, Peter had had a dream, and that brought them together. And this is just way in the beginning when they were just starting to reach out to the Gentiles. And so as Peter is preaching the good news of salvation to Cornelius and his household, as he's sharing the good news, as he's preaching the word of God, it says that the Holy Spirit fell upon them. All they were doing was listening to the word, hearing the word of God, and they receive the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important, I believe, that you tune into this program, Live with Passion, other programs that preach the scriptures, read the Bible, spend time in good spiritual books, because as you listen to the word of God, as you hear the truth about salvation, I believe that the Holy Spirit will fill you and fall upon you too. And it says that they all received the Holy Spirit and began speaking in tongues. It's interesting. I find this kind of humorous. These people, these Gentiles that heard the word of God, received the Holy Spirit. They weren't baptized. And so, you know, we all have our formulas and our rituals, and, you know, we're supposed to receive the Holy Spirit from baptism and confirmation. So Peter says, wait a minute here. They haven't been baptized, and there they are speaking in tongues. They've received the Holy Spirit. Let's get some water and baptize them. I think that's funny because, you know, you got to follow the rules. You got to follow the structure. You got to follow the rituals of the church or else. And it was the same even back then. You know, God can break open this, the rules and the rituals and the and all the circumstances of the church. You know, the church has a set of laws and different rules and regulations, and they're all good and everything, but God is beyond that. So he pours out the Holy Spirit, and then they got baptized. Well, whether you go to church or not, whether you've been baptized or not, I believe that you can receive the Holy Spirit through this program, by reading my books, by coming to the Bible. As I said, they were listening to the word of God, and the Spirit fell upon them. You know, we're at kind of a crucial point in our church right now. 80% of our youth, get this, by age 23 have left the church. Vocations are way down in most circles. Religious life, for all intents and purposes, in most religious communities is dying. The average age of religious is about 75 now. 75? Can you imagine? So vocations are weighed down, and as you know, we have an aging priesthood. So what's the answer to this? What's the answer to this crisis that's going on in our Catholic Church right now? I believe the answer to vocations, the answer to people coming back to church, the answer that people are searching for, the answer is the Holy Spirit. Once you have a personal encounter with God, and this is what happened in my life, vocations will come. People will come back. And the church will be alive. Much like in Paul's time when he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when he saw the believers? Some people can look in our church and say, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Well, where's the enthusiasm? Where's the giving? Where's the joy? And as people receive the Holy Spirit, I believe that the church will be revolutionized. That's exactly why John Paul II, our former pope, called for a new Pentecost. And all the popes since then have been saying the same thing. And then way back in, I think it was 1986, he promulgated an encyclical on the Holy Spirit. This is John Paul II, our former pope. He promulgated an encyclical called Lord and Giver of Life. And that's why I've entitled this program, Lord and Giver of Life, because the Holy Spirit is God, Lord, and gives life, breathes new life into us. So really quickly, let's get into this whole thing about the woman at the well. Jesus encounters this woman at the well, and she's thirsty. And Jesus offers her living water. Now, we all know what water is. We're very familiar with it. We drink it every day. We wash up in it. Water is cool and cleansing and scintillating and sleek and slippery. And it's fun to look at. It's fun to play in. I remember recently I took a vacation and I went snorkeling in water, and you just float there and you look at all the fish down beneath. Every day I take a shower in water and it cleanses and it brings healing. If you have a wound, you ever notice a dog gets a wound, he licks his wounds, and just the water itself, the saliva, can bring healing. So water is cooling, cleansing, and refreshing. But the number one thing that water does is it slakes our thirst. And Jesus, when he talked about water, he said, I will give you living water. And in the Middle East, water is so precious because it brings life. And living water is something that moves and it's alive and it's within us. I'm preaching right now from the New Orleans area, north of New Orleans. It's called Covington. And I'm staying in a place called Abita Springs. Abita Springs has springs that come up from the ground, and the water comes up and replenishes, and it just keeps flowing. And people actually come with their jars, and they take that water. And there's this seemingly inexhaustible supply of water that just keeps coming. It's Abita Springs, Louisiana. And then I think about how when one time I went to Yosemite, the great national park, and I saw these big waterfalls coming, and how the water just kept coming and coming, seeming inexhaustible supply. And that's what Jesus offers us in the Holy Spirit. What he's doing is, Jesus is giving us an image of who the Spirit is. This life that constantly keeps coming, this spring of living water that flows within, that cleanses and purifies and heals, and most of all, slakes our thirst. It's interesting who Jesus offered this water to. He offered it to a woman at the well, and he got into a conversation with her who had been married and divorced 5 times. And the man she was living with wasn't her husband. So I hope you get that. This is John chapter 4. This woman was pretty much steeped in sin. Jesus is offering her the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes people will say, you know, I guess the Holy Spirit is for the Pope or for priests, or for Father Cedric, and, you know, people that go to church and good people. You have to understand, no one is worthy of God. No one is worthy of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus offered the Spirit to this woman, how much more will Jesus give the Holy Spirit to you? I love what it says in the Acts of the Apostles. Upon all flesh I will pour my Spirit, God says. Upon your maidservants and your men servants, your young people will see visions, your old people will dream dreams. That's the vision of Pentecost. So I want you to think, or not to think, that you're not worthy of the Holy Spirit. No one's worthy. But I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is for you as much as for anybody else, and that you can receive the Holy Spirit, that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to know also that when we talk about salvation, you might be thinking, well, how can a person know that they're saved? You know, what is all that? Is that just some kind of theology? Well, that's the way I would have thought years ago. You know, how can you know that you're saved? But when I received the Holy Spirit, I came to understand something. The Holy Spirit is the beginning of eternal life. Heaven begins when the Holy Spirit comes. When I talk about living with passion, the only way to live with passion is to have the enthusiasm and the grace and the anointing that the Holy Spirit brings. I want this for you. Whether you feel anything or not, I want you to believe, to receive, and to know eternal life in the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you receive the Holy Spirit and be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because that's exactly what the Bible says. Be ever filled with the Holy Spirit, it says in Ephesians. In other words, you can be filled with the Spirit over and over and over again, the Lord and the giver of life. How do you be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I was watching a Star Wars movie recently, and the main character was this woman named Rey, this young lady. She was doing battle with Darth Vader, and as she was doing battle, she got in touch with the Force by closing her eyes and getting into communion. That's one of the best ways to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Prayer, getting quiet. You know, we're all in a battle. Maybe it's not Darth Vader, but a battle with addictions and a battle with relationships and a battle with physical sufferings and a battle with all kinds of different adversities and trials. Spend time in prayer. You don't even have to say a word. Silence is golden. Just commune. That's what we do at the beginning of Mass. We always say the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all and with your spirit. So number one, be filled with the Holy Spirit by prayer. Number two, it's really important in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to listen to the Word of God. I told you about Peter preaching to Cornelius in the house of the Gentiles. They were just listening to the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit felt, that's what I'm hoping for you right now. As you're listening to this program, the Holy Spirit will fall upon you. You'll never be the same. You will be revolutionized. And you listen to the Word of God by getting good resources, like my book on the Holy Spirit, my booklets on the Holy Spirit, which you can get at my website. And then, of course, surrender. Surrender to God. That's what we're about to do. Turn away from your sin. Is there a sin in your life right now that you've been clinging to, an addiction that you've been clinging to? I'm telling you through the Holy Spirit, turn away from that. Surrender to God and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're thirsting for this. You need this. You can be revolutionized by this. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, we surrender our lives to you now. We thirst for your Spirit. Like the woman at the well, we want to receive your Spirit. We want to be revolutionized. Like Cornelius, like the people of Ephesus, I pray that your Spirit will fill everybody watching this program, listening by radio, watching by DVD or CD. May they be touched by the Holy Spirit now, revolutionized. May something beautiful happen. We surrender our lives to you now, and in the name of Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit and with passion. And don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs. You can listen to more podcasts. You can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.